John chapter 4, verse 10. I want to preach about bold prayers. Prayer is coming into the presence of Jesus. We see a woman at a well here in chapter 4. We don't always think of her as praying as such, but prayer is conversation with Jesus. She came into the presence of Jesus. She talked to Jesus. He talked to her. Can I tell you that's what prayer is? Can I tell you prayer is a two-way street? In our prayer lives, may we express to God, but may we also listen to God. May we listen as much as we express. Perhaps we ought to listen more. That two ears, one way. Prayer is a two-way street. But what is a bold prayer? How do we define a bold prayer? When I look at bold, bold is confident. Bold is courageous. And today we find in a quite unlikely story, we find a formula for praying a bold prayer. In John chapter 4, we find the story of a sinful woman who finds a merciful an unlikely person, an unlikely place. But then we find this text in John chapter 4, verse 10. That Jesus answered and he said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is he says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Would you bow your head this morning? And then we just pray one more time that God would ask his blessing upon this service, upon this word. Lord, one more time, would you anoint us to bring forth your word? God, would you give me clarity for this? God, would you anoint our hearts and our minds to hear and receive from your word this morning that we can feel like we have been fed from you, the presence. The descriptions that are powerful and lively will become powerful and lively in our minds and in our hearts. May we take your word and respond to it and apply it to our hearts and to our lives. And Lord, if there would be one or if there would be many who do not know you as their personal Savior, we pray for them this morning that the gospel would touch their hearts and provoke a response in their lives. Lord, we pray if there be one that has wandered away or drifted from you, God, draw us back. Draw us back. In your grace and in your mercy, draw us. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the honor to bring forth your word. Let it all be about you. Let it all be about the truth. This morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's be said, amen. Amen. What is a bold prayer? The first insight that I see from this passage as we read about this woman at the well is that a bold prayer is a God-centered prayer. Not a self-centered prayer, but a God-centered, a God-focused prayer. You see at the beginning of verse 10 that Jesus says to this woman, if you knew the gift of God. You see, it always starts with God. I have heard it said, and I have probably said it before myself, that I found God, but it didn't start with me. God found me. And a God-centered prayer, a bold prayer, will put the focus and the emphasis and the faith and the understanding that it all starts with God. It is a God-centered prayer, not a self-centered prayer. Why is it important that we pray a God-centered prayer? It's because we don't know. It was said in the Sunday school lesson. We don't know many times. We lack understanding. We lack wisdom. We lack knowledge. We lack direction for our lives. We are finite. We are limited. But how many knows that He is infinite? How many knows that He is limitless? And when we realize that He is limitless, we can pray to God a centered prayer on Him, and we can pray with a boldness. Not because of who I am, but because of who He is. You see, He is the giver because He has everything to give. You see, He is the giver because He has everything that we need. And once we realize that, once we accept that, we can look to God for everything. We may have walked into this room this morning knowing that we have many deficiencies, many needs, many things in our lives on the deep down on the inside that need fulfillment. But how many know that God knows the answer? He is the answer, and a bold prayer will focus not on the problem, but on the provider. A bold prayer recognizes that God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. God is all resourceful. God is the creator of all, the giver of life, the giver of hope, and the giver of peace. You see, there is a formula here that I see that we recognize who God is. But then there comes a time in our life that we go beyond just recognizing who God is and realizing that we can approach this God. Well, then it gets better than that. I have recognized who God is. I have realized that I can approach God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it goes another step forward. I can be a receiver of all that God has for me. I can recognize who He is. I can realize what He does. But I can receive the blessings and the benefits of God and even can receive, get this, God Himself through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that a beautiful thought this morning? It is a bold concept that imagines that a God of the universe would take time to be in a personal relationship with you or me. But that is exactly what He does. That is exactly who our God is. And here we see Jesus waiting at a well for a woman. I almost said a wicked woman. But we had a Sunday school lesson this morning that was talking about the goodness of women. So I better not call her a wicked woman. But we know she was living a bad lifestyle. And Jesus said to them, the disciples, when they were leaving, He said, I must go through Samaria. Do you know why He needed to go through Samaria? He knew that this woman whose life was all to pieces was going to be coming one day to draw from a well of water. And so He said, I must go through Samaria. Can I tell you that I am glad that God, in His infinite goodness, in His great mercy and His wonderful faithfulness, many times in my life has realized that I'm going to pass this way or that way, and He said, I'm going to go there, I must be there, Greg is going to pass that way, and I want to be there when he gets there because I have some good news for him, I have some life-changing power for him, and I'm going to go stand, in this case, by a well and wait for a woman. And Jesus told the boys, He said, disciples, you go on in the city and get some food, but I have a divine appointment right here. And He was waiting by a wellside for a lady whose life was all to pieces. And we look around us this morning, we look in our families, we look in our friends and co-workers, we see lives and families maybe that are all to pieces. But I want to tell you that Jesus Christ, if I could say it symbolically this morning, He is still waiting by the wellside for somebody. And whoever will believe in Him shall be, can be, will be saved. You see, He said, if you knew the gift of God, it was not because of herself. It was because of who He is. I'm glad I know the gift of God this morning. Does anybody else know the gift of God this morning? I'm glad that I can be bold enough to trust Him with a prayer for my salvation, knowing that He will save my eternal soul. Now, many of you, most of you, have prayed that prayer, that bold prayer of salvation, but I urge you this morning, the first step in a bold prayer is to say, Lord, I am a sinner, but I know that You are a Savior. And to pray that prayer before you lay your head on the pillow tonight. I am bold enough to pray a prayer knowing that I can trust Him with anything and with everything. not because of who I am. A bold prayer is not self-centered, but a bold prayer because of who He is. Well, what else is a bold prayer this morning? A bold prayer is also Scripture-driven, not emotional-driven. Now watch me this morning with what I'm going to say here. We are a Pentecostal church. We believe in expressing our emotions, and that's okay. The Lord would have us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So I'm not preaching against that. I'm not saying that we don't enjoy the emotional benefits that come from a personal relationship with Christ, because we do. We know joy and peace and all the goodness that comes from being regenerated, from becoming a child of Christ, and we experience those emotions as byproducts in our lives. But I want to tell you that we don't walk and live by our emotions. We walk and we live by the Scriptures. How many know that some days we feel better than other days? I can be saved and just as close to God on Wednesday and feel like I am on cloud nine, and on Thursday I can still be just as saved and just as close to God, but maybe not feel so well. See, I am not driven by my emotions. I'm driven by my will. And my will and my conscious decision is that I'm going to serve God. I'm going to follow God whether I feel like it or whether I don't feel like it. And so a bold prayer is driven by the Scriptures and not by our emotions. A bold prayer is praying when I don't feel like it, when I don't understand. How many have prayed and really believed God, and yet we still haven't seen the answer or the progress? But praying a bold prayer will pray, God, I believe You, even though right now I'm not seeing You move. God, I believe You are a healer, even though the situation is not improving. I'm still bold enough to pray to my healer, God, knowing that He is all-sufficient. A bold prayer will be a prayer that we pray whether we see a result yet or not, because we know that God is always working behind the scenes. The song says, even when I don't see it, You're working. You never stop. You never stop working. I want you to know that God is working, and we can pray a bold, Scriptural-driven prayer knowing that God is working. Now, what is a Scripture-driven prayer also? It is within the parameters, the defining moments of what Jesus said in Matthew 6, 5 through 13. He laid some groundwork. Let me just lay a little groundwork right here in verses 5 and 6. When we pray, He said, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray to be seen or to be heard. Now, if my goal in praying is to be the loudest prayer in the room, I have my reward. Pin a rose on my nose, I'm the loudest prayer in the room. Nothing wrong with praying loud. That's fine. But they were praying loud just so they could be seen. They were praying loud and often and out in public just so they could be heard. And Jesus said, that's not the kind of bold prayers I'm asking you for. They have their reward. He said, look in verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Oh, what a beautiful thought it is that we can steal away and pray to our Father in the secret place. And He hears our prayers. It just hit me right here as I'm preaching this, but it's almost also as if He is saying, you and I, we can handle this together. We don't really even need anybody else right now. We can go into our secret place and pray a bold prayer knowing that I am hearing You and I will answer your prayer. Then He goes on and lays a little more groundwork before He gives us the model prayer. In verse 7, He said, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, because they think that they're going to be heard because of their many words. I want you to know that God is not impressed by my vocabulary. God is not impressed by any degree or any honor or any this or that. He is impressed by a heart that wants to pray in a sincerity to Him. He's not impressed really on how I word things or how I don't word things. He says, when you pray to me, just know enough about me to give me your heart and just express yourself the best way you can, and I'm going to hear you, and I'm going to understand you, and I'm going to move for you. Sometimes I have prayed, maybe you have too, and I have thought, oh Lord, did you hear my prayer? Oh Lord, do you really understand what I'm trying to say? Oh Lord, and we go back and we try to repeat and we try to straighten it out. I want you to know that God hears us. He understands the groanings of our hearts. And if we are praying with sincerity, He is hearing us and He is understanding us. Now, as humans, there's times that we talk to each other and we think that we have understood what the other person has told us. We think that we heard it, and the other person think, okay, we're clear, we're on the same page. And many times we're not on the same page. But that never happens with God. We can pray a bold prayer knowing that God always knows what we are trying to express to Him. So then Jesus goes on then, and as we talk about a scriptural prayer, and He says, in this manner, therefore, pray. You know this prayer. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Here He gives us a scriptural model for bold praying. You see, our prayers need to be scripture-centered, not emotional-driven. I can't pray how I want to or how I feel. I pray within the parameters of the scriptures. I pray knowing that God already knows my need before I ask. He already understands my heart. He already knows what I'm trying to express. And He already has a plan and a divine will and a purpose for my life. I can pray a bold prayer. I can pray a scripture-filled prayer. But not only should my prayer be God-centered, not only should my prayer be scriptural-driven, but my prayer needs to be faith-filled, not doubtful. Sometimes I live my life full of doubt, doubtful. But He is telling me, He is telling us, don't be doubtful, but be filled with faith. Look back at our text this morning, John 4 and 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you know the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, then He goes on to say, you would have asked Him. If I have a need and I know that my wife can meet that need, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask her because I know she will meet that need. There are people in your life that you know that if you had a need, if you had a situation, you had something, and you went to them and only asked, they would take care of it. Right then and right there. How many knows that God is that friend? God is that friend. You would have asked Him. He is saying to us many times, we have not because we ask not. Faith is a complete trust or confidence in somebody or someone. Is our faith complete? Are we trusting completely? Do we have full confidence in Him? If we are praying a bold prayer, we will have a confidence in God, unlike a doubt. Well, what is a doubt? A feeling of uncertainty, a lack of conviction. Have we ever prayed and we've prayed and we believe, but yet we're kind of like that wave of the sea that's being tossed to and fro, and we're doubting a little bit. Have you ever been there? I've been there myself. Maybe you have before, and we're doubting, and we're praying, and Lord, I believe, but then we catch ourselves in doubt. But God is saying to us, have total confidence in me. I have you. I have your life. I have your answer. So that gives me a logical progression. I know that I can. I can do what? I can pray bold prayers. I know that I need to pray. How many knows we need to pray? I know that I can pray. I know that I need to pray. And then there's something that happens to us many times on the inside, and we say, I want to pray. So I know that I can pray. I know that I need to pray. I know that I want to pray. Then I will pray. And that brings me into a logical progression here that we see about a bold, faith-filled prayer. We find it in Hebrews chapter 4. You're very familiar probably with this passage of Scripture. Hebrews 4, 4 through 16. He solidifies why we can pray with faith. He says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched. One translation says, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, verse 16 tells us, let us then come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What is the writer of Hebrews saying right here? He's saying very simply, Jesus paid a great price. And Jesus removed a great barrier. Why do you think we were able to come in here this morning and worship Him like we did and walk into His very, seemingly the very presence of God this morning? Why did we be able to do that? Why did that happen? Because Jesus has already paid a great price and He removed a great barrier for you and for me. And now I can approach His throne with boldness. The temple veil was rent, torn from the top to the bottom. Only certain ones could go into the very presence of God, but not anymore, because when Jesus Christ, it is finished. That great plan of salvation was put into place, and He became the great high priest. And He is ever interceding for you and for me. In fact, the Bible said that He liveth even to intercede. We can pray a bold prayer, full of faith, full of trust, full of confidence, full of certainty. Why? Because God will hear and God will help. Not only will He hear, but He will help. What is a bold prayer? It is a God-centered prayer. What is a bold prayer? It is a Scripture-driven prayer. What is a bold prayer? It is a faith-filled prayer. But finally, and it brings us back to the lady of the story, this morning, a bold prayer is a graceful prayer. Or say it this way, a prayer that is full of grace. What's the opposite of that? Condemnation. I can pray a bold prayer because I know that I have a God who is full of grace and who doesn't want to condemn me. He wants to forgive me. He doesn't want to hurt me. He wants to help me. You may have been part of an inspection at some point in time, maybe out on a job site or a piece of property or an old building or whatever, some type of inspector, a fire inspector or a building property permit inspector or an environmental land inspector or whatever, and they've come by. And how many knows that there are rules and guidelines that they must follow and check off and X off and whatever? But also, how many knows it can really depend upon the old boy they send as to whether you get condemned or you get to move on with life? Sometimes it might depend on whether he spilled a little coffee on his pants on the way to the work site and he's in a bad mood. You might be in for a bad day. If he's in a good mood, you might get to slide on a few things. But many times they'll come in and they might say, I am going to have to condemn this property. Or maybe it's a car that needs something. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to put a rejection sticker on your car. But I want you to know that when Jesus Christ comes by and He looks at us, what He should say is, we are condemned, hopeless. I am finished with you. I'm rejecting you. I am writing you off. But yet in His goodness and His grace and His mercy, He looks at us and He says, you know what? I want to extend grace to them a little bit longer. It is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. And if you are here this morning and you say, I'm not living the way God wants me to live, I believe He would say to you, I want to give you an extension of grace. I have brought you to this house this morning that you can hear about a woman who found Jesus at a well. I brought you here this morning that you can hear that there is hope for your life and you can be born again. He did not come to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I'm not condemned this morning. I am full of grace. I don't deserve it. I don't earn it. There's nothing I have done, but He died for me, and I have received His gift into my life. And now I can pray a bold prayer filled with grace. Now, I'm not preaching that we ought to just live any old way this morning. You know I'm not preaching that. What I am preaching, though, is if we fail the Lord, we can ask forgiveness. If I fall down, I can get back up with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, none of us can serve Him and live for Him, but we have a great high priest who ever intercedes for us. Isn't it wonderful that I know that not only can I be saved and changed because of this great high priest, but I know that if I mess up tomorrow, yes, it should break my heart, and yes, it'll break His heart. But if we mess up, if we sin tomorrow, we have this great high priest who will forgive us, not condemn us. No wonder the writer wrote the song Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Grace is God's approval to us. Now you sit here this morning and you say, God doesn't approve of me. I've gone too far. I've done too much. You just don't know, Pastor. You just don't know. No, I don't know, but God knows. And can I just propose to you this morning that before He even allowed His Son to leave heaven itself to come and die on an old rugged cross, He already knew. He already knew the sin that He would be paying for. He already knew how we would reject Him. He already knew how we would hurt Him. He already knew how we would hurt people. But He looked at His Son and said, yes, I want you to go. I want you to die for them so that I can reconcile them to myself. It is the beautiful story of the gospel. Grace, grace, God's grace. And not only will He forgive us, but He then will put down on the inside of us an ability to serve Him. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Are we bold enough to receive His grace? It starts with a bold prayer. Verse 13, back in John, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. He's talking about the well water. She was coming for the natural, but Jesus was worried about the spiritual. Verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. I just picture sometimes those just little ponds or little stagnant water that's just sitting and ugly and murky, and if you visualize that, sometimes that can kind of be how we have felt and been down on the inside. But here Jesus says, I'm not giving you stagnant, greasy, algae-filled water, but I want to put down on the inside of you living water that will spring up out of you into eternal life. And I'm glad one day that He took my old stagnant water away, and He put down in me a fountain of living water that's springing up inside of me, and I can live this life boldly knowing that He has saved my soul. How about you this morning? I'm glad that I am saved. I'm glad that I have the living water springing up inside of me. And that propels me that I can pray bold prayers. What are bold prayers? They're God-centered prayers. What are bold prayers? They're Scripture-driven prayers. What are bold prayers? They're faith-filled prayers. What are bold prayers? They're grace-filled prayers. So as the musicians come this morning and get ready, they're going to sing a song
that I asked them to sing for us this morning. What should our response be? Very simple. Pray bold prayers. Pray bold prayers. Before we leave today, I think we should pray bold prayers. Before we go to sleep tonight, you know what I think we ought to do? Pray some bold prayers. When you take a look and examine your family and where your family might be in life, I think it's time we pray some bold prayers over our family. Throughout the coming week, what should our response be? I think our response should be to pray bold prayers. When we think about our church, our local body of believers here that God has put together, what should we do? I think we should pray bold prayers. When we examine ourselves, I think we should pray bold prayers. What do we do when we encounter problems? Pray bold prayers. What do we do when we come in contact with the test of this life? What should we do? Pray bold prayers. What about, Pastor, when I suffer great disappointment and heartache and grief? It's then that we can still pray bold prayers, knowing that He is the Good Shepherd who will never leave us as He walks with us. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I can pray bold prayers. When the obstacles look too big, and I feel like wringing my hands, when I feel like walking away, when I feel like quitting, when I just think I'm inadequate to get the job done, you know what I want to do? I want to pray bold prayers. Because I have a big God. They're going to sing a song right now that started out this way. It said, "Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Good news, Jesus is calling." Oh, I feel the Lord this morning. Would you stand with me? Have you come to the end of yourself? And do you thirst for a drink from the well? Got some good news. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Then it says, why don't you just leave behind your regrets and mistakes? Why don't you just come today? There's no reason to wait. Hallelujah. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Why? Jesus is calling. Oh, hallelujah. Come to the altar. The Father's arms. I want to urge you this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, why don't you do just that? Why don't you let Him come in? Why don't you let Him save your soul this morning? Let Him change your very life. There's a lot of people around this room this morning who could stand, and if I would hand the microphone to this one and to that one, and you could stand, and we could talk for hours about how Jesus Christ has made all the difference in our lives. We might be surprised at what some might have to tell us. Because Jesus has made such a radical difference in their lives. And things that maybe they did 50 years ago, we would say, I just can't even believe that, because God has changed. You see, we're all sinners, but we've been saved by grace. We were all out there, but thank God He called us in. We were all dead in our trespasses and sins, but He has quickened us. And just as the psalmist said, He brought us up out of a miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, even a firm. Oh, come to the altar. Father's arms are open wide. Never, not ever, have I approached Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, and He's rejected me. Not one time. Never, not ever, have I tried to lay down a burden to Him, has He not said, no, not today, I'm not going to help you. I have always found Him to be faithful. I have always found Him to be